Good morning. It is 9:33 at 97.9 The Hill, and a special guest in the studio today. I've been looking forward to this for a long time. Kenny Mann is here, the world famous party band man, Kenny Mann.
Well, world famous. I don't know how many Chinese know me.
probably not too many.
But not too many.
Kenny Mann, of course, a leader of Liquid Pleasure. And Liquid Pleasure has been around a long time. And the reason we're having this conversation is because Kenny has started to play a little bit more around the area, which I think is really cool, because you guys are all over the place. But there's a brand new copy of Oxford American Magazine out, a Southern Music issue. And there's a long story, man. It took me about 2 days to read this story about Kenny and the band and the early days and the history. And I'm going to tell you, man, you're getting more and more famous every day.
Well, if it took you a long time, man, your reading skills much better than mine. So I hadn't quite finished the article, and I got the first copy. But
Kenny came in here. What was it? Which day was it you came in here with this? You said it was the first copy that you were bringing to me. So I don't know.
It's a little after Carolina losing last night. My mind's a little fuzzy. Oh. It was a couple of days ago, I think.
Yeah, I know what you mean, man. It was a tough loss to take.
Oh man, I take a Carolina loss hard. I tell you.
People should know that you're a big Carolina fan.
Without question.
Yeah, and your band, in fact. I mean, you guys have played on the court at the Dean Smith Center. You've sung down there.
Yep.
Same thing with Kenan Stadium.
Roy Williams, you go to the grill, Sutton's. Roy and I, Roy's got on one of our jackets, and
yeah.
He looks the part, you know.
Well, I want to say right off the bat, before I forget to do it, appreciate your involvement in Ronfest last summer.
That was wonderful. What a highlight.
Yeah.
What a highlight.
But the reason I wanted you to come in today is talk about this magazine article. I'm going to tell you, you were talking about the history of Liquid Pleasure.
Uh-huh.
And tell our listeners who don't know, tell us a little bit about how the band got started and what your influences were and all that sort of thing.
We got started at Guy B. Phillips Junior High School, junior high back then.
Yeah.
And we officially started September 7th, 1966. It was my seventh grade year.
Mm-hmm.
And Melvin was right next door.
Yeah.
In the sixth grade. And we had band class there, and we just started out officially becoming organized. We were always playing in the neighborhood.
Yeah. Yeah, but you had kind of a role model back then, too. Right?
I had a few of them.
Yeah.
Doug Clark, without question, was our heavy influence for Liquid Pleasure. You know, he had a big, bright red Cadillac convertible, and I said, when I get grown, that's the way I want to. I want a car just like that with a white phone in it and all of that.
When Doug started his band when he was 15, I believe.
Yeah, and my uncle was one of the original members, and and so we had a musical influence all through there. But what really got me wanting to be in the show business is when I saw those Beatles, man.
Mm-hmm.
Those girls running after those Beatles. I said, that's me. I went and bought a Beatle wig and walked up and down Franklin Street with it for 2 days. No girls ran after me, but the police stopped me a couple of times.
Well, so women were a big influence in you getting into the band business.
Look, I was known, man, if you put women with it, Kenny Mann was there. Women and food. They said, it's going to be, you want to go to Greensboro, there's going to be women there. Drive to West Virginia, women there. I'm there.
So main influences in his life, women, food, and music.
And Doug Clark. That's so, right.
Now, you have become known, and we'll get to this article here.
Okay.
You've become known as a party band, and you guys play, you know, have played parties at fraternity houses and all this kind of thing over the years, and now you're known as a wedding band band, and you guys, you know, play all over the place, all up and down the East Coast, all over the country. You play presidential inaugurations.
Well,
and,
yeah, I realized, you know, at some point that the Lambda Kai's at NC State, the Kappa Six, the Betas here in Chapel Hill, the Phi Deltas, the Kios and the Tri Deltas, all of them, we play for all of them. That sooner or later they're gonna become grown, and they're not gonna always run around drunk in their boxer shorts. And so now they're pretty much all, you know, presidents of corporations and stuff like that. They grew up.
Yeah. So, you know, I'm gonna be honest with you. I read this story, this really long article,
10,000 words
on liquid pleasure in this magazine, Oxford American, and I got really angry just reading all this indignities that you had to go through, being an African American band playing for an all-white fraternity, for example, and all the kind of stuff that you had to put up with. I don't know how you did it.
Well, I don't think it was germane to me. Mm-hmm. I think it happened to every band that was out there, not only black bands either, because Liquid Pleasure was integrated at the beginning. I mean, David Hackney was our guitar player, and David's son, Kyle, and my son, Kamori, were playing on the same basketball team, and David and I would sit around and talk about the old times. David caught some of it, too, just for being around us.
Being associated with you. Yeah.
But I saw my grandfather. I saw my father. All of them have to bite their tongues a lot of times, and I quickly figured out that the main thing that you have to do as a man is you've got to make a living, and you got to figure out how to do it quick. My daughter, Kendra, was coming right at me as I was getting ready to graduate from high school, and I had to figure it out quick in 1972.
Yeah.
So, and then you go through all the mental stuff with the band members and stuff like that.
Yeah, people who were, you know, shouting at you from the crowd, you know, and calling your names and all that kind of stuff, and you just kept playing, and it's really hard to believe you were able to do that. I think, you know, I can't possibly identify with what you went through.
Right.
But as a white guy, but, you know, I just don't see how you kept from really killing somebody. I mean, it's really, really tough.
Well, you know, my father, I used to get mad with my father, Brian, because I things would happen. People would say stuff to him, and it would seem like he was kind of reserved and would never strike back. And I used to get so angry about that.
He'd have to bite his tongue.
Yeah, my mother, on the other hand, was ready to fight you in a minute.
Yeah.
But what I learned from my father probably saved my life in 1982 in Valdosta, Georgia.
Mm-hmm.
We were coming out of there about 3 o'clock in the morning, and the sheriff stopped us and made us all get out of the van and lay on the ground.
Oh.
And until we identified ourselves, and they let me know that they were gonna kill us if they wanted to. And so I thought back to my father at that time, and that's what saved all of our lives, that my father taught me that it's all right for you to think what you think, but you got to be careful where you say it, because somebody will kill you. Now, of course, we've lived long enough to know that people have gotten shot by the police and stuff like that, but this is 1982, and it wasn't so politically correct or fashionable to say that then, so I thank my father for that. But my father was 6'2", 230 pounds.
Yeah.
And he knew that there was some instances he get into it, if he said the wrong thing, he would no longer be in this world.
Yeah. Your father, of course, a legendary chef down to the rat. And
the world's greatest comedian, I'm telling you.
Well, he passed that on to you, too.
Oh, yeah, but he and my brother Tim, they were the funniest men on earth, I'm telling you.
Well, push ahead to 2018.
Okay.
There's still a lot of that racist stuff going on, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And it's gotten worse in the last couple of years. So.
Well, I've always said, I was one of the first black kids to integrate the Chapel Hill school system. I was in Carberry Elementary in 1963, and it was just one or two of us.
Yeah.
And I'm glad my I was mad with her at the time for taking me from Northside Elementary to go there. But it was a very important thing in my life because it enabled me to get to know white people from a different perspective.
Sure.
And for them to get to know me.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of the problems that's happening with black people in America today is we as black people are complicit in it. For we have, for too long, never told white people how we really feel about certain things.
Mm-hmm.
I get a call maybe twice a month where somebody is inquiring about why a certain member of my band was not smiling on stage.
Really?
Yeah. I mean, 52 years in the business, and I can always depend on that. Someone would call and say, I saw your other keyboard player and he didn't seem happy. Was he all right, Kenny? You know, and I think that black people have been taught to make white people feel comfortable when they are around them. And a lot of times you're dealing with your life. And I don't begrudge any black person for doing that. It's got a historical roots to why we scratch our head sometimes when it doesn't itch.
Mm-hmm.
And we shuffle our feet sometimes because you can get seriously hurt late at night if you're African-American man. But we, as a people, use racism too much. It's not always racism.
Mm-hmm.
We have to be careful how we throw that out there because Chapel Hill is not a racist town. I grew up here. But there are pockets of what I call sophisticated racism here. But it should not be, the entire town should not be painted with that same brush. This is the best town in the world to have grown up in as an African-American. I would tell anybody that.
Mm-hmm. Well, can't say that for a lot of places in North Carolina.
Go 30 miles west, south, north, east, and east.
As we often say, we're kind of in a bubble here.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Well, for the folks who don't know, who've never seen Liquid Pleasure, what kind of music do you guys play?
We tailor our music for our audience.
Mm-hmm.
We got a show tonight.
Where?
And we're at the Pittsburgh Roadhouse
in Courthouse Circle there.
Courthouse Circle in Chatham. And we responded to our customers. People said, Kenny, we'd love to come see you, but y'all play too late. So this is what we call our adult 7 o'clock show. Every man that loves his wife should take his wife to the Liquid Pleasure show tonight in Pittsburgh. Now, if you don't love your wife, just stay home. And then tomorrow night, for the people that like to stay out late, we're at Pantana Bob's in Chapel Hill. And that keeps us home for the whole weekend. Hey, yay.
Hey, I can tell you, if you've not been to a Liquid Pleasure show, you're going to have a good time because they play a little bit of everything. I mean, you guys play, you know, everything from Motown to rock and roll. I mean,
beach. We yeah. Shag it. But audience dictates the music. If I walk in there tonight and it's a 100% beach crowd, we're going to play 100% beach. If it's Motown or it's a mixture, it's no need of me playing Snoop Dogg if nobody wants to hear that tonight.
So you don't have a set playlist when you go into the show?
I don't. I admire these bands who can say, okay, the first song is going to be this and the second song is me, without ever seeing the crowd. How do you do that?
Yeah. Well, that's one of the reasons that you are as successful as you are. And, you've gotten such a great reputation over the years because you play what people want to hear.
Well, we still love it.
A lot of that is spontaneity.
Well, we still love it, man. And it's fun when you play at home. I miss those shows we used to do here in the mall. Mm-hmm. I don't know what happened there. They used to bring the whole town together.
Yeah, outside here in the parking lot. That's fantastic, man.
Yeah.
And the whole town would show up, too. I mean, we had so many people.
Oh, man, that was fun.
Yeah, Kenny, here tonight, Pittsburgh Roadhouse, 7 o'clock, Courthouse Circle in Pittsburgh, Chatham County.
Oh, yeah.
Just a few miles away here. And Saturday, Pantana Bob's downtown at 300 West Rosemary Street. And you don't start playing there until 10 o'clock. So.
Well,
that.
I said, look, Pittsburgh Roadhouse is right walking distance to the jail. You can get as drunk as you want, and they don't have a key to the jail. You just walk in like Otis and Mayberry down there. And then you'll be out in the morning.
Where are you going next? You going to hit the road again next week?
Or? No, we got some fraternity Christmas stuff. We got the Betas coming up and some coming. And then we go to Sea Island, Georgia. And then we're actually performing for the ACC championship football game in Charlotte.
Oh, cool.
December 1st.
Yeah. You've had some great experiences playing at, like, presidential inaugural balls and Super Bowl, right?
Well, we've done Super Bowls, but playing for those inaugural balls is not fun. man, those guys, that Secret Service, those guys are something.
Oh, yeah.
When they take your cell phone, they turn your drum set up, and they bringing dogs in and sniffing. It's tough business.
I'm telling you. Well, hey, if you want to find out more about Liquid Pleasure and the history of the band and all of that kind of thing, pick up a copy of Oxford American Magazine. It is a Southern music issue. Anita Freeland on the cover. Anita Simone, I'm sorry.
Yeah.
And there's a story in there on James Taylor, one on beach music, one on John Coltrane, Link Wray, a whole lot of other good stuff. Beach music memories. Rhiannon Giddens.
Oh, yeah.
She's in there, too. And really good stuff. So,
yeah.
Hey, Kenny Mann, I'm just disappointed they didn't have a picture of the band in there.
Well, they told us, said, Kenny, this not going to be a fan magazine. Said, this is our readership likes to read.
Yeah.
And so.
That's for sure. Yeah. You got lots of opportunities to read if you get that article.
Oh, yeah.
Because it's a long one. But thank you so much for coming in today. It's always good to catch up with you.
Thank you, Ron.
And, have a good time at those gigs this weekend.
All right.
Tonight and tomorrow night. World famous Kenny Mann. Public with pleasure. And all around good guy, too.
Yeah, Chapelboro.
That's right. And far beyond. It's 9:50.
You're listening to Artisanal 97.9 The Hill.
I always listen.